This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. In Canada, you can check out Kelly and Company right from your television, Compton Channel 88, and check Ontario Channel 596. Visit ami.ca/audio for a list of channel locations in your area. Kelly McDonald, host of the program in the London, Ontario home studio. Rami Muthan, and she's over there in the Toronto, Ontario, Canada home studio.
Kels, I love when we have these segments where we can kind of reflect on some things and get to know some new stuff coming up. And that's always the case with our friend Greg David when we talk TV.
I'm Greg David, and I love television. Reality shows, dramas, sitcoms, and documentaries. I watch them all. I'm excited to share my passion for the television industry with you in front of and behind the cameras as it changes and evolves.
Greg, new year, new us, and new things going on in the TV world.
New us? Why? What's different about you and Kelly?
What are you talking about? Don't we sound different?
There's always something different about us.
A little sniffly. Yeah.
Kelly got a new hat.
Kelly got new hair. Yeah. Happy New Year, Greg, and thank you very much.
Some of the new stuff is not radio friendly. That's why.
Oh.
It's called podcast friendly. Well, maybe not on our show. Greg, thanks a lot for taking part in the Christmas show. Your audition went well. We appreciated your contribution. You sounded great. We decided to keep you.
Yes, thank you. And you know what? Thanks for bringing it up, because I listened to the broadcast. I downloaded it as the podcast, so I got a little bit of extra content. And I just want to say on air, what a wonderful job that you did putting it all together. I know that Matt behind the scenes did a ton of work, but I thought that this was the best Christmas party episode ever. So congratulations.
Thank you. We had a lot of fun. Yeah. As we said, like over and over again, just leading up to it, because we wanted everyone to hear. It was super fun.
Greg, the best part is when, you know, you've reached that part in your career on the broadcast scale where you can sit back and everybody's, Kelly, you don't need to worry about it. Matt and I have this. Kelly, no, don't ask questions. Guess what? It's a surprise.
Oh, true.
The only negative was that we weren't, you know, obviously being able to get together and sample, you know, the baking that
Mary
is normally sampled
and Karen's
at that.
But baking.
Yeah. But fingers crossed, we'll get to do it again next year.
Yes. Year. And they did share some of the recipes, and there was good. Yeah, this year. No, we're still doing that, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about something that's been talked about a lot in the last few days. But Sunday, just to get into the nitty gritty of it, Sunday saw a very different version of the Golden Globe Awards take place. There wasn't a red carpet, no audience, no television coverage. So what happened to the awards this year?
Yeah, this is a crazy and really kind of a sad story. And it goes back to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And this is a group of people. They're journalists from around the world that all live in Hollywood. And the group has actually been around since the 1940s. And they're a nonprofit comprised of journalists that are based in and around LA, but they cover the movie business for non-US outlets. So, you know, Australia, Russia, England, all of these journalists are in LA, but representing outlets in all of these different countries around the world. And over the past year, the LA Times exposed this controversy going on at the HFPA. They were accused of self-dealing and other unethical behavior. And so that was kind of the first thing. And then 2 days before the 2021 Golden Globes were held last year, Time's Up, which is a group, they launched a campaign to protest the lack of Black membership, the members of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And they had some heavy hitter actors like Kerry Washington, Sterling K. Brown, Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, and Amy Schumer and Laura Dern. They all jumped on board and said, listen, you guys need to be more diverse. So the Hollywood Foreign Press said that they were going to. But they really didn't, and they made some missteps along the way, and so that led to Hollywood studios boycotting the Golden Globes, and then NBC said, we're not going to broadcast the Golden Globes in 2022.
Oh, wow.
So, and then that just
so somebody took action.
Exactly. Yes. Somebody. Everybody
just not who
else
you wanted. Exactly.
Just not them.
Yeah. Everybody exactly. else in the room did, but not them.
Yeah.
And Greg, I think they made it clear too when asking, we're not just looking for more black representation across the board, like everyone else is having to adjust. In other words, include all the people who are legitimately should be qualified.
Yeah, you're right. We talk about this all the time. We talk about diversity, having everybody represented at the table. And so the Hollywood Foreign Press Association have essentially been called out for being slow to make any of the changes. And we talked about the fact that Hollywood needs a change and acknowledge that this is slow. But yeah, I mean, so it all culminated in what happened on Sunday. Awards were handed out. There was no red carpet. There was no audience. There was somebody tweeting out the winners and in some cases making mistakes in the tweets or even not even acknowledging what show they had won for. The Squid Game the Squid Game actor won for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama, and they didn't put the name of their show that he was on. I mean, come on. This is like, wow. Who is doing it? I don't even think an intern would have gotten that wrong. So, you know, clearly there's something going on behind the scenes at the Hollywood Foreign Press. And, you know, the unfortunate thing about it is that, you know, it's something that we got used to seeing on television, and it just wasn't there on Sunday.
Wow. Wow, Rum. They actually sent them out. They must have taken advice from you because that's the way you gather your information from these award things. On Twitter.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well, just keep it on Twitter. Some people will follow that way, but yeah. Wow. It's not really...
Yeah, and the problem was that because of those mistakes on Twitter, they got the attention that they didn't want, which was a lot of mockery. Right. And the last thing you want to do is to get mocked on social media, and they were.
Greg, can they recover for this? And also, can you launch into who actually receives them?
Yeah, sure. So the big winners that weren't there, Succession won for Best Drama, as did the lead actor and actress. Ted Lasso was a big winner. Mayor of Easttown won the aforementioned nice. Squid Game. So, you know, it's really that's the other unfortunate thing about it is that there was the beginning of the year, the unofficial beginning of award season, and all of these, you know, well thought of shows and critically acclaimed programs just didn't get to bask in the spotlight that they usually get to.
Yeah. And because an award's nice, but you want people to know about it so that when they're saying, should we do a season two, those decisions or season three, they can be made with, hey, we've got that audience and people are aware.
Yeah, and, you know, it was kind of the guide, to potential Oscar winners, the primetime Emmy wins later on in the year. So it really takes away from that excitement. And, you know, do I think that they could come back from this? Well, they're having to do that. They're having to start at the ground level, and they're really going to need to make some big changes between now and next year if they hope to have, you know, most importantly, a broadcaster broadcasting this celebration.
Yeah, I mean, talk about pulling the plug, right? It's one thing for people to boycott, individuals to boycott, but when you have the networks and just everybody, like as huge an entity saying, okay, no, we're not doing this. There's nothing happening here, so we're going to have to take it upon ourselves and say we don't support this. I mean, first of all, those are the kind of changes that we're looking for, okay, people? Like when we're talking about, you know, taking action and if something isn't working, then how do we pull out and how do we make the statements and clearly somebody's listening. So, wow.
Yeah. Now, are the Golden Globes something that the two of you would even check out? And you know, I think we talked about whether an award. Yeah. Just on Twitter. Right. So it was no change for you then, Rami, having it on Twitter.
But yes. But the thing is, we're still, like Kels pointed out kind of subtly, we're still checking it out for what to check out. Right. Like all these other award shows are saying, OK, how did the Golden Globes go? Or us as consumers of some of these TV channels and shows are saying, OK, what should we check out based on what won? Right. What's being critically acclaimed? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in all sorts, this is problematic.
Well, I check him out because we're going to talk to Greg David about these things. I'm not a big fan of a lot
of the... He does his homework.
Exactly. That's just homework. I'm not a big fan because I know a baby about what I like and just don't like. If I like the concept of something, it could be a garbage show. I'll watch it. But that's just because I'm same with books. It's a terrible book. Yeah, but they were talking about, I like that, you know. It's a car book, but it's boring as heck. Oh, no. You know, whatever it might have been that interests me, I work more that way than everybody loved Mayor of Easttown. Oh, okay, I'll watch it. I'm not good at that.
Right. So speaking of TV award winners, though. January and February are the time for new shows to debut. Some stuff is like in mid-season. I'm not even sure what the timeline is for anything anymore, to be honest with you. But you're like you're liking one that we talked about earlier on, The Cleaning Lady. So tell us, remind us what it's about.
Yeah, this was something that, remember back when we talked about, you know, would you green light this show? Yes. And I think we all laughed about the title of The Cleaning Lady. Yep. And you know what? It's really good. So it's adapted from an Argentinian series. And I'm not even going to be to try to pronounce the name of the original title, but it was developed for Fox down in the U.S. and it airs on CTV here as well. And it's about a female doctor who comes to the U.S., where she works as a at a cleaning company in Las Vegas, because of course, you know, very often the immigrant story is that you come to this country and you know, you don't necessarily get a job within that same
your credentials country. Don't wash here for whatever
exactly
reason.
Exactly. And the main reason for coming to the U.S. is because her son has an autoimmune disease that he needs a special treatment for that can't be that can't be treated. And I left out the part where she came. It's an Argentinian series, but the actress or the character is Filipino. So she has come with her family from the Philippines to the U.S. Gets a job working for a cleaning company in Las Vegas. And she just happens to be there one night when something horrible goes down and she needs to clean up the mess. So she cleans up the mess for this guy who turns out to be a mob boss who says, listen, I really, you know, I know that you can keep quiet about this. I know that you, you know, did a really good job cleaning up my mess. I'd like to hire you on call as my cleaning lady. So she's
so after Dexter moves in, she comes in after and says, okay, I'll clean up everything.
Exactly. She pulls down the plastic sheeting. You know, she gets rid of all the bodily fluids. So she's conflicted because she needs the money. She gets paid very well for that first job. This, you know, and this money can go towards, you know, her you know, saving money for her family in Las Vegas, but also at what cost? She's on call. She's also a doctor back home. So she's, you know, there's that she's cleaning up after this guy who's clearly a villain. I went into this thinking that it wasn't going to be very good. And like I said, I was hooked after the first episode. It's done very well in the ratings, almost 4 million viewers the night that it was broadcast. The second episode was broadcast on January the 10th. And if you want to check it out, it's Monday nights at 9 on CTV and Fox. But if you have the CTV app, you can stream it anytime. And I think it's also on Crave.
Awesome. Very good. And you just wonder what these things, when you hear the pitch, you know, we're hearing that what we're hearing, how much did they share with the concept? Because that makes a bit of a difference what you told us now versus before. It's like, wow. We have a little bit of time left. Let's talk about Yellow Jackets, because this series I've heard a bit. People seem to be chatting about it.
Yeah. So this is essentially, it's a female version of Lord of the Flies. And it takes place originally, it flashes back and forth between 1996 and 2021, following a U.S. high school soccer team that's flying to a championship game. They're flying from New Jersey to Oregon, and they crash, their plane crashes in Northern Ontario. Go Canada. So it flashes, the storyline flashes back and forth to tell the story of the survivors in 2021 and what they endured during 2 years in the wilderness. So it's like Lord of the Flies, where you have conflict and you have warring factions. It has little bits of Lost in there because it seems to be a little bit supernatural. But the performances by the young actresses and the adults are simply fantastic. People are talking about the performances. It is very, very gory, so I will warn you up front about that. But I've been binging it. There's already 9 episodes that have been broadcast, and I've been just flying through them. I actually watched an episode before I logged on to go to work today, just because I'm so caught up with these characters and want to know what's going to happen next, which to me is the mark of a good show, when you care enough about those characters that you want to check out the next episode.
Characters and cliffhangers. One more time, where do we catch this one or find it?
So yeah, Yellow Jackets, you can check it out Sundays on Crave. If you don't have Crave but you have the Crave app, you can check it out online as well.
Sweet. Awesome. Greg, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Greg David, he's our communications specialist here at AMI, but he also comes to talk TV every 2 weeks on Kelly Go.
We'll step aside for a moment. Ryan Delahanty, he's going to be with us in a moment, and he's going to highlight initiatives that are designed to help newcomers and people with disabilities to access public transit in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Please hang in. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.